right, let's look at the fruit of the Spirit for a little bit tonight. Galatians chapter 5 is where we find the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, has what he does there is, in this particular passage, in the previous verses, he compares the life of the flesh, the works of the flesh, as compared to or contrasted to the fruit of the Spirit. And if you read back up and read some previous to where we're at tonight, you'll find the work or works of the flesh are not very pleasant. They're ungodly, they're unrighteous, they're immoral, they're unethical, they're things that you would hope any and every Christian would want to shun away from and get just as far away from as is possible. But yet when we read the fruit of the Spirit, and he starts with the contraction but, which tells us there's going to be a comparison contrast here. When we read these things, they ought to just thrill our soul and make us just have an earnest desire and conviction. That's what I want in my life. That's the lifestyle that I want. And I hope that it is with us tonight. I know you've all studied these before, but folk, we need tonight to just realize how important, and I say this as I did with my sermons for a couple of Sunday mornings on the handwriting on the wall. Folk, we live in a day and a time when we need to be as spiritual as we possibly can. We need some spiritual giants. And folk, where are they going to come from? Well, we often think, you think of a spiritual giant, I think of some of the great pastors of the past, some of the great evangelists of the past, and such as that. But folk, let me tell you, where the spiritual giants are needed in our day and time today are right in the pews of good Baptist churches, right out in the workplace where you and I work and where we meet people. We need spirituality to just exude from us in every setting that we are in, whatever that might be. In order for that to happen, we need to have and possess, and when we do have and possess these fruits of the Spirit, then we will demonstrate them, because by their very nature, they are going to be something that is openly displayed and demonstrated. People will see these things in us. So let's read in Galatians chapter 5, and I'm just going to read verse 22 and 23, because that's where we find these listed. Just two little short verses, but yet so much in them. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, and it goes on, and let me read the next two verses. And it says, They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live by the Spirit, so let us also walk in the Spirit. And so we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to overcome the things of the flesh. We need to overcome the temptations of the flesh and of Satan and the fleshly nature. Now, the only way we can do that is through spirituality, through the spiritual things that we find here. These will overcome that. We, without God, without God's influence, through the working and indwelling and infilling of the Holy Spirit, without God assisting us, unless opening ourselves up and availing ourselves to what He has for us, without that, we in the flesh cannot overcome the flesh. You hear that? We can't overcome the flesh because we are in the flesh. That is the nature of who we are and what we are. But spiritually, we can. We can overcome. We can indeed. Now, remember the scripture that sometimes is half quoted, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." You'll never accomplish that. Well, it's right out of the Bible. You be sure and back up and read the whole passage. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Folk, you're not going to be able to resist the devil until you have submitted yourself to God, given yourself over to his control, given yourself over to the control of the Holy Spirit, given yourself over to these attributes, these characteristics. Folk, these things that we look at here tonight, we did last week, we ought to see in our lives. The world ought to see these in our lives and needs desperately to see these. Last week we began and we talked about the fruit of the Spirit of love. Some think that love is almost a heading of this group and everything else falls under it. And indeed, until we have the proper love for God and the proper love for His church and the proper love for His service and the proper love for the lost and the proper love for our enemies, and even Jesus told us to do that, and that's not me, okay? Until we have that proper love, we're not likely to have these other attributes in our life. But I do think they are individual characteristics that we need to have. We talked about last week that love and the importance of it. We talked about joy. The joy that comes from the Lord, the joy that comes from knowing the Lord, the joy that comes from being filled with the Spirit. Remember this, and I like this. It helps me to remember this. Happiness is a good thing. Nothing wrong with happiness. Happiness is dependent upon what happens. This joy is something that comes from within. You can be joyous when the events around about you are not happy. You can have that inner joy. You can have that special feeling. And it goes on after joy, and it says peace. You can have peace when it's this kind of peace, the peace of God. We make peace with God, and through a faithful life of service, we can enjoy the peace of God, that peace that passes understanding. And you can have peace in the midst of turmoil. You can have peace in the midst of the storm. You can look around you and life's waves can be high and frightful, but you can still have that inner peace because you know that God is there with you, going with you through that storm. You know, when the apostles were out on the ship with Jesus and the storm came raging and it was just, they were scared to death. And Jesus, he's not too worried. He's asleep in the boat. They go wake him up and said, you know, to paraphrase, aren't you afraid we're going to die? I don't know if he said any more than we have recorded in the scripture or not, but I'd like to think that he said, fellas, do you not realize who you're with here? You know, I don't know. But what did he do? Peace be still. Peace be still. The old water calmed down. Folks, listen, we can find that kind of peace within. Now, he may not take the turmoil away, he may not take the storm away, but he'll give us that peace. And folk, that only comes through spirituality and through God. We have that peace. We talked about being long-suffering. Some of these attributes are very directly involve how we treat other people. How we treat other people. Folk, a spiritually mature, spiritually growing person will treat others differently than someone who is lost, someone who is not a spiritual person, because they're going to be living in the flesh and under the influence of the flesh. Long-suffering, being patient, being tolerant. Now, that is not to be condoning of wrong. That is not to be one who allows the world to push you down and walk over you, but it is to be long-suffering and tolerant and patient, and we need to do that. The world needs to see that. And then we come to where we start tonight. Those are the ones we've looked at. The next one that is listed is gentleness. Now, this is just like this morning, and so much of God's writing, especially Paul's, we looked at the things this morning and how they overlap, how they intertwine, how one complements the other, how one will aid the other. It's like the three-legged stool illustration, okay? Those three legs are identical, but you need all three of them for that stool to be effective. You take one of them out, just one. It's not going to stand up, folk, all right? We need all of these. We need this overlapping. We need this intertwining. We need the full measure of this. Just as those things that we talked about this morning that cannot separate us from the love of God are similar, they cover the same areas in some respects, so it is with the fruit of the Spirit. Long-sufferingness that we talked about last week, long-suffering. Gentleness. Gentleness is just what you would think it would be. This, again, you don't have to look up the word and do a great word study and a great word search and all of this. Gentleness. You've seen people that are gentle. They're kind. They're good-natured. They're considerate. It's a joy. It is a pleasure to be around somebody like this. Somebody that is good-natured, someone who is kind and considerate, someone who is courteous, someone who is just a special word. It's as a matter of fact, this same word, gentleness, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that chapter about love, there, that same where it says love is kind, the same word, kind and gentleness. The same Greek word, it's translated two different ways, meaning very much the same thing. It's one of the attributes of love. Kindness. There's so much in our world today, so many people in our world today that are suffering and trying times and difficulty. A lot of it is indeed brought upon themselves. But folk, I'm telling you, the world needs to see kindness. The world needs some kindness. They need someone that is courteous to them. They need someone who will show them that they care. Someone that will be there for them in a time of need. And so kindness in such. And you know, this gentleness, it just in general implies just the proper treatment of everybody that we encounter in whatever the situation might be. And you know, sometimes even when we are ill-treated, someone is rude to us. There's the old saying, you know, kill them with kindness. That's kind of an oxymoron there, but nonetheless, show them kindness. Be a bigger person than they are. Show them kindness. Jesus, how many times did he present this in his ministry? Being kind to someone. The parables that he taught. You want a parable that just engulfs all of these fruit of the Spirit? Go read the parable of the Good Samaritan that stopped to pick the old boy up out of the ditch. The religious elite went by and they walked on the other side of the road. They didn't want no part of that. Turned their head. The religious elite, you know, the Pharisees, the priests, they saw that, but they didn't want to get involved. The old Samaritan came by and picked him up, cleaned him up. Took him to an inn where they get him a room, give him a few days, and he said, just when whatever he needs, you take care of it and just send me the bill. That's kindness. It takes a spiritual person to do that. And we need that gentleness and that kindness, and we need that. And folk, it is so very, very important that we do that. And folk, listen, let's present this to others. This is what Jesus showed the woman at the well in John chapter 4. This is what Jesus showed to a very strong example. The woman caught in adultery. She was guilty. Jesus did not argue her guilt or innocence. They had caught her in the act. But his kindness, his gentleness, his grace, his mercy showed her a spiritual thing that she had never experienced, that she needed. So we find gentleness. How gentle are we? It goes right along with being long-suffering. Gentle. The next one goes right along with that. Goodness. Goodness. This is very simply having a disposition about you to do and be good toward others. To do good things. To be kind again, and I don't want to use the same terms and such, but being good to somebody else for their benefit, to benefit them, not to call attention to yourself, not to be able to put another mark by your name because you really helped somebody out, but to help someone because you want to help them. We, again, live in a day and a time where there are a lot of people that need help, and unfortunately, and it's very sad, there are so many out there that have poor old me, the world needs to take care of me attitude, that I think many times those that are genuinely in help get passed over. And I hate it when people come to the church, and they do often. They'll ring the doorbell, and fortunately we got a system where I can talk to them from the office and see who they are. And 99% of them, I tell them, we can't help you. Because, you know, I hate the thought of turning away someone with a legitimate need. But folk, most of them are out there just letting the rest of society provide for them, okay? It's hard to determine that. We're going to help those within our church family. We're going to be there for them, I'll assure you, every time. But we need to be good to people, doing good to them and such. And we just need to do that. I tell you, you want a biblical example of goodness, doing good for someone else? Go over in the Old Testament and read the little book of Ruth and read about Boaz. Read about Boaz. Now, there's a great spiritual teaching there in the laws of the kinsman redeemer when you get in the Old Testament law. And all of that is a place, is a picture of and pointing us to the cross and what Jesus did for us as our redeemer. And that's the gist of that. But you want to see just down-to-earth gentleness and goodness? Read about Boaz and how he treated Ruth and Naomi. He was good to them. He helped them out because his and being the kinsman redeemer, it went even beyond that. So we have goodness. Now the next fruit of the Spirit is faith. We have gentleness, goodness, and faith. Now I'm not going to spend a lot of time on faith. Come back Wednesday night. We'll cover some more of that, all right? Faith. Folk, faith is a spiritual thing. Faith is the opposite of the flesh. The flesh wants to see it. They want to feel it. They want to be able to hold it. They want absolute proof and evidence of it. And they'll go to the extreme to find that. Folk, God is like faith. Believing. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm glad tonight that we can believe in heaven through faith. Because, folk, listen, I'm telling you, the Hubble telescope, science, and I love science. The Hubble telescope can look a bazillion miles out into space. I don't understand how it works. It can look and take pictures of galaxies and various things. Light years and light years and light years, thousands of light years out there in space, which these things are so enormously huge. And folk, let me tell you what, if that don't tell you God's not great, oh my goodness, read the last Psalms. But nonetheless, but you know what they hadn't took a picture of yet? They hadn't got a picture of heaven yet, have they? But I'm telling you, I believe for just as certain that heaven is out there beyond that, wherever it's at. I don't care where it's at because I know it's where God's at. And that's all I'm going to do. And I know He's going to get me there someday. And it's not going to take a rocket ship. Faith. Faith is a wonderful spiritual thing. It is a spiritual attribute that we must have. Meekness. Meekness. Another fruit of the Spirit. Meekness goes right along with goodness and gentleness. See how many of these deal with our interaction with our fellow man? Folk, if we are local New Testament churches, born-again believers individually, we are the tools, we are the instruments which God uses in this era, in this day since the time of Jesus. We are the instruments that God uses to reach the world for His cause, with His message, with His word, with His salvation. And it's a way we interact with others that's going to make that successful or not. Okay? If you're not good, gentle, If you're not good, if you're not long-suffering, if you don't demonstrate some faith, and if you're not meek, and you're the opposite of those things to those we interact with, you're not going to win them to the Lord. You will not. Because you're going to be just like they are. You're going to be harsh and crash. You're going to be rude and indifferent. You're going to be like the Pharisee that passed by, that fell in the ditch when the Good Samaritan came along. Folks, listen. Meekness. Meekness, again, it is an inner quality that will be outwardly displayed. Meekness is humility. All right? Humility. If you look through, especially the New Testament, starting with the ministry of Jesus and then that of most of the apostles in Paul's writings, if you'll, and just study it just in the life of Jesus, and look at the humility of Jesus. If there is anything that is contrary to the nature of the flesh, it is humility. Folks, look at how many times Jesus talks about humility as opposed to pride and arrogance and self-conceit. What's the first words of the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Folks, you want to paraphrase that and be absolutely correct and accurate? Blessed are the humble. Happy are the humble. Humility. Nobody, well, I'm not going to say nobody because a lot of them are, they're so much alike. A person that is truly meek and humble, they don't want to be around somebody that's the opposite of that. That arrogant, self-centered, egotistical person, whoever they are, it don't matter where you went, they went further. It don't matter how high you climbed, they climbed higher. It doesn't matter how well you can do it, they can do it better. They've done this, they've done that. We all know those people, okay? There's no meekness there anywhere. There's no humility there anywhere. They want to be seen. They want to be known. They want to be acknowledged. They want their name and lights. They want to be sure that everybody says, look at here. Look at me. And they want other people to say, you know, look at old so-and-so. Boy, isn't he a grand... Boy, and they just like that. Folks, listen, we need some humility in this old world today. I used to say after I'd been in seminary for a little while and after I got out of seminary, some of the things that they don't teach you in seminary that you learn at the School of Hard Knocks when you get into the world of pastoring, I've thought the first class you need to take in seminary as a preacher is Humility 101. The last semester, if you've been there 4 years, 5 years, 7 years, I don't care how long you stay, the last semester, one of the classes you ought to have to take is a refresher course of Humility 101. We need to be meek. Now remember this. Meekness is not... Again, letting folks run over you. Meekness is not being too shy to do anything. Meekness is not being so reserved and so uncertain that you don't ever say anything. But it is meekness. It is humility. Folk, it goes so much right along with gentleness and goodness. See how they all go together? Meekness. Folk, How do we become meek and humble? Here's the best way to do it. Consider who you are and what you are without Jesus Christ. You know what you are? Who you are? Who we are? I certainly have to include myself. Who we are and what we are without Jesus Christ? Nothing. An old sinner on our road to hell. We're not anything or anybody. Oh, Brother Sid, but I've done this. I've done that. I've accomplished this. I worked hard and I climbed my way all the way up that ladder of success to the top of the company. I've got to... And he was not arrogant. I'll assure you, he's one of the most humble people you'd ever meet, and some of you met him. The fellow that writes the adult Sunday school class, Dr. David Robinson, he told us, and he was kind of talking about humility one day in class and such, and he said, fellas, it don't matter. He said, I've got more degrees than a fever thermometer. I said, so what? I'm an old sinner saved by grace. And that man is a literal genius. His IQ is way up there. He knows a little bit about everything and a whole lot about most of it. And he's the most humble, down-to-earth, loving person. He would help that seminary student that if he needed a pair of socks, he'd go buy him a pair of socks. Or if he needed some help with a deep theological question concerning the languages, he'd help him with that. It didn't matter. He was meek. But now he was strong in the faith. Still is. He was a great, wonderful person. One of the most spiritual people I've ever met in my life. Great pastor. He's pastored the same church. Probably going on close to 50 years now. Folks, that takes something. He exhibited the fruit of the Spirit, including meekness. Folks, listen. We need some meekness in our world today. It doesn't mean that you have to be take abuse and such as that. But it is the opposite of the flesh. This is a spiritual thing. All of these are. He goes on. Meekness. Temperance. Temperance is a word that is used very simply to define can be defined as self-control. All right? Now, if you go back into the 20s and the 30s, 1920s, 1930s, you go back and there was a lot of temperance movements. All right? It used to be a big thing in churches and such. And it brought about prohibition. And a temperance movement then was to do away with alcohol because of the terrible, terrible scourge that it was on society and the abuse of it and the use of it. And so they had temperance societies. And it was, again, a big thing for churches and such. And it did bring about the prohibition. It's the only part of the change of the Constitution, that was repealed and changed. They did something and then did away with it later, and today look at what we've got. And so, but temperance is, and the realm of thinking here is self-control. Self-control. A proper self-rule over the evil tendencies of the flesh. Folks, we've got to have some temperance. You know how we overcome the things of the flesh? How we overcome those temptations? Folks, we have got to do it through spirituality. We have to do it through God, through His Word, through looking to Him, talking to Him, trusting in Him. You've got an area of weakness in your life, and it could be any one of a zillion things. Lord, I need some help with this area in my life. I need to overcome this. I need to push this out of my life. And the flesh is saying, go for it. But the Holy Spirit is saying, let me help you. Temperance. We need self-control. Jesus, a great example of this. We find this over in the book of Hebrews, where we studied in chapter 4. Just temperance, self-control. You know, Jesus was the Son of God, though, Brother Sid. Yes, He was. Setting an example for you and me, that we might follow His steps. It would have been difficult to have been beaten within an inch of your life, literally. And as you're carrying your old cross of execution as far as you can carry it to the place of execution, as you're carrying it, somebody's spitting in your face. You talk about self-control. He lay on that cross as a lamb before a shear. They never make a sound. Never make a sound. Because they are meek. Meekness, self-control, a proper rule of those things. And we need that today. If you want to see a life and a society without temperance, there's two ways to do it. One is to read over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The other is to look around you when you leave church tonight. No control, no temperance. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then it ends it with this phrase, against such there is no law. What is he? And there's a couple of different opinions of this, but I'm just going to give you one I think kind of sums it up. Against such there is no law. For the child of God who possesses, demonstrates, displays, and lives the life of a Spirit-filled believer controlled by the Holy Spirit and exhibits and possesses these fruit of the Spirit's, that person will have such a life that can't be condemned by the law, be it the law of God or man's law. They can't be condemned. Because, folk, these things don't violate God's law. These things are not unrighteous. These things don't do that. You know what law is made for? The law of God in the Old Testament, the law of Moses is given to Moses by God. That was to show the people of Israel that there was sin in their life. There was wrong in their life. That's the thing it condemns. It's the law. The reason you can't drive down Phoenix Avenue 70 miles an hour, and if you do and you get caught, you're condemned for it, is because there is a law that says you have to are supposed to be driving 35 miles an hour. Folk, when you have a life that is controlled by the Spirit and demonstrates love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, you're going to be within the laws. There's no law against those things. There's no way to... There's that kind of lifestyle will live above the nature of the flesh, the things of the flesh. Folks, let me challenge you again, just maybe after a while even. Read the entire chapter of Galatians chapter 5. It'll take you 5 or 6 minutes. Read that chapter. It's not a difficult chapter. Look at the comparisons of the works of the flesh, what we can do in ourselves, and then what God can do in us and with us in the fruit of the Spirit. Just put them in a balance and see which one you want to be a part of. And folk, it's not hard. Now the flesh is going to fight. This is a constant battle between the flesh and the Spirit. A constant battle. But folk, God's spiritual values can overcome the flesh if we will avail ourselves to them. Every time.